Seek the Lord, and you will find him. This is Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night. Divine intervention, we need divine intervention. What was in your heart as you created this world? What were you thinking when you said, let there be light. What was in your heart when you formed man? Before you shaped woman from his side, take us back. Got in the way.
Good day, everyone. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful time to be alive, and this is Dr. Shirley Caniff here on Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting from the offices of WSCIRO, and that is Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston, and we are in the week of June 20th. Can you believe it? And today is Tuesday, June 21st, the first day of summer. Yes, that's right. I said summer. I'm from Boston. Anyways, we are here at Faith Talks Like Prayer, and we just came from the weekend of Father's Day, also known as Trinity Sunday, for those of you who are, in the traditional Christian expression, okay? But nevertheless, we are, no matter what Christian denomination you are from or non-denomination, we are one big family of God because we have one common denominator, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and we are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So consider yourself blessed, consider yourself in the family of God. Amen. Well, anyways, today we are going to concentrate on the activity of heaven and the authority of the believer. And before I go further into that, I want to say hi and a big God bless you and love you to all my Facebook friends and family and those who are part of our YouTube community on WSDKI-TV, Seek Christian Internet. Seek the Kingdom Internet Christian Television of Greater Boston. It's so funny just going back and forth between WSCIRO and WSDKI-TV. We can all be, we're so blessed in the media as part of God's media army. Well, anyways, like I said earlier, we're going to look more into the activity of heaven and the authority of the believer. You know, we got the kingdom of God within us, right? Because of our baptism. And, you know, when we know that and who we are in the Lord, it says in Ephesians we sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, okay? And far above and beyond our circumstances and situations, okay? And we rule and reign with him because by virtue of our baptism, we are priest, prophet, and king. So, you know, what does that mean to the everyday believer? Well, there's a whole lot of activity going on within us. I mean, we talked about the stirrings up in the world. Well, why is the world being stirred up? It's because of the kingdom of God being stirred up within God's people. And many people talk more about the stirrings up going on in the world, but yet they have to, they lose focus at the same time of the stirrings going on in the spirit of man. All right, and when you have the Holy Ghost, there's even a greater stirring, because the Holy Ghost is stirring, constantly stirring things into motion within us, because heaven demands movement, okay. And demands the flow to be established through worship. And there's many things that happen in the worship. So we're going to talk more about that as it pertains to Ezekiel, the four living creatures. And after this introduction, we're going to go into Joshua Mills, who actually the Lord's really been pouring into his life in a very special way. His works of graces regarding the glory, and he did a very powerful work in Joshua Mills, so powerful that Joshua had to produce a CD called The Throne Room Encounters, and regarding heavenly things. And so we're going to go into that, because that actually supports and is a confirmation to something that the Lord had given me in 2000 after a long and intense episode of worship, a three-day teaching on the four living creatures and the activity of heaven as it relates to the prophetic virtues, okay? And so I want to begin this broadcast in prayer, but also a reading from Ezekiel, okay? Introducing the living creatures and the glory of God, because you need to understand these prophetic symbols as it pertains to the activity of heaven. If you understand the activity of heaven working through you, then you can understand, you know, and come into a greater awareness of who you are, all right, and how the Holy Spirit uses you to exercise authority in Yeshua, in Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're just going to ask right now that Holy Spirit, you would just come, and we would just come in power and come in glory, take over this broadcast, Lord. And I just pray right now a special blessing on those who are hearing this broadcast. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Come, Holy Spirit, come in power, come in glory, and do your thing in your people, in God's people. And we pray, amen and amen. Before I do that, I want to go, there's a dream that the Lord had given me on Father's Day, all right? the morning of Father's Day. And I believe it is a word for everyone here. Because the Father yearns for his children to know him as a loving father, and to also know his son Jesus as a loving heavenly brother. Okay, you know, I know that when you see Jesus, you've seen the Father, because they're one and the same. But I had a dream vision, and it went something like this. Now, the Father knows where you live. He knows what he knows what you love and what makes you you, and he moves heaven and earth to get your attention regarding all that, okay? So anyways, I had had a dream about, where was I? I was somewhere at a carnival. The Lord brought me to a carnival, whether it was on this earth or whether it was in heaven, only the Lord knows, right? But I tell you, He wants His people to have fun. And as I was in this place that resembled a carnival, I noticed that there was a long line coming to see Jesus. The Lord had Jesus set up in the booth. The Father had Jesus set up in the booth. And the strange thing, what really disturbed me in this dream, is that people were coming with tickets to see Jesus, and for a word, right? And I thought, you know, why are they using Jesus like this? Like He's some kind of sideshow, you know? And then in the other ear, I was hearing this particular voice coming from that group of people. Well, this is not the real Jesus. It's a fake Jesus. But we're just coming to see if this Jesus is, you know, just like the real Jesus, or, you know, they are an imposter Jesus. They didn't quite know what kind of Jesus He was, but they had a yearning that they wanted to, you know, come to Jesus. But they were coming, they were perceiving Jesus as somebody that's not real, somebody that is like whatever the Jesus is that they experience is not as real to Him as they would like Him to be, and things like that. So, you know, I was saying to myself, don't they know that that's really Jesus? You know, I had some kind of understanding that the Jesus that's in the booth is the real Jesus, and people are treating Him like He's a fake Jesus. And so I went up to Jesus, and I was looking at His face. I'm like, wow, He looks really real to me. And something in me came alive as I was looking at Jesus face to face, okay, at this booth. All of a sudden, He lays His hand on me, and He recognizes me. He called me by name, He said, Father, bless Shirley, your daughter, and complete within her the work that you have begun in her. You know, bring it to completion. And I thought, wow. I said, this is the real Jesus, because this only Jesus would say this, you know. And then He held my hand, my right hand, and with His right hand. It was that handshake again from heaven, and all this power was going through me, and I was being changed and transformed. And I was saying to myself, if this is not the real Jesus, then you know, I'm under a spirit of illusion. And I knew that it was the real Jesus. The other people were in a spirit of illusion, delusion. They weren't taking Jesus seriously, and that's what the Lord is saying to the church: take Jesus seriously. Do not mock Him. Take Jesus seriously. He is real. He is the real thing. You know, He is all, what you need. He's the only one that can transform your life. He's the only one that has the ticket to the Father. Here we are, bringing our tickets to Jesus and hoping that we get in. But that the Lord says, change your attitude. He says, change your heart. That, you know, He's the one that, you know, is the only one, the author and finisher of your faith, that presents your ticket to the Father, okay? And this is, and He's real, okay? And the thing is, afterwards, right, I went to another booth, you know, I was looking at the dessert table, actually, I thanked Jesus before I left the booth, because I realized He was real. And then I went to the counter to check out some desserts that I liked, and I went to the more the everyday common desserts and delights, and this is a symbol for, you know, what people commonly are into, in the earth, you know, the familiarity, you know, what people love, what the, you know, and in, you know, the things that are common to all right, the food that's common to all. And I began to select these foods that were common to all, that were known as, you know, everyone's favorite dessert and things like that. And all of a sudden, Jesus came from the booth, right, and he went to the cashier, his checkout place, and he became the cashier, and like he came to me as a servant, but he as a friend at the same time. And he made a suggestion to me and my husband. He said, "That food over there is inferior food. I want to give you this. This is, and it costs much, and you know you're going to just lose out." So then he put the other food, it was my favorite food. I was like, because I was making a choice between, you know, before he came, you know, the everyday common food that everybody likes, that everybody says is good, and you know, it's a nice dessert, and everybody likes it, you should like it too. To like my, you know, like I had variations of chocolate that I liked that I didn't want to tell anybody, and they were in the form of whoopie pies. So what the Lord did was he took variations of all of these things that I liked that were really my favorite things that he put in me, all right, and he perfected, he gave me a perfection of them, you know. I can explain it, like there was nothing like that I experienced on earth, but he gave the light, he presented the likeness, and at the same time there was a little bit of a variation that you knew wasn't from the world in which, you know, the earthly realm, it was from the heavenly realm that only he could do, okay. So he gave me variations of whoopie pies that, you know, I didn't even know these could exist. And so and then I went to go, you know, take out my money to pay for it. He goes, "Put that money away. This is free. These are free gifts, you know, from the Father. These are free, you know, and they taste so much better than the food that's over there that, you know, were made on the earth." And I thought, wow, this is so awesome. And, you know, and I was only going to select, like, a little bit, but then he gave me a whole lot. I'm like, where am I going to eat? I said, "Wow, it's going to take me a whole lot of time to consume this." And I felt like I needed to give some away, but it was okay. It was, like, good stuff. And everything. And that's what the Lord is saying. You know, he's saying he's the real thing. He's got a lot of gifts for his people. But, you know, and they're gifts that are not, like, of this world. And they last, and not only last, but they're free. And it's to give it away. So, you know, and so that's what the Lord is saying. He's releasing the spirit of generosity in this hour. And he wants you to understand more or less about the activity of heaven and how heaven moves through you and how it moves to others. So that's why I'm dedicating, okay, as you know, I'm dedicating this show to the Father for Father's Day, as it came from heaven through a dream. And at the same time, I'm you know, our goal is to have the listening audience, whoever's in the listening audience, to understand the activity of heaven, and you know, and how it flows through you, and what the Father wants to do through you. Now, you know, it's to get you also to entice your appetite so that you can have this desire to run after Him, okay, for what He wants to show you for your life, to release the call in your life. So, you know, just keep this in mind as I read from Ezekiel 1, okay? "The living creatures in the glory of the Lord. In the 30th year, in the 4th month, on the 5th day, while I was among the exiles by the Kebar River, the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. On the 5th of the month, it was the 5th year of the exile of King Jehoiakim. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, by the Kebar River in the land of the Babylonians. There the hand of the Lord was upon him. I looked, and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, and in the fire was what looked like 4 living creatures, In appearance, their form was that of a man, but each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, their feet were like those of a calf, and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had the hands of a man. All four of them had faces and wings, and their wings touched one another. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. Their faces looked like this. Each of the four had the face of a man, and on the right side each had the face of a lion, and on the left the face of an ox. Each also had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out upward. Each had two wings, one touching the wing of another creature on either side, and two wings covering its body. Each one went straight ahead. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, without turning as they went. The appearance of the living creatures was like burning coals of fire, or like torches. Fire moved back and forth among the creatures. It was bright, and lightning flashed out of it. The creatures sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the ground beside each creature with its four faces. This was the appearance and structure of the wheels. They sparkled like chrysolite, and all four looked alike. Each appeared to be made like a wheel, intersecting a wheel. As they moved, they would go in any one of the four directions. The creatures faced the wheels, would go in any one of the four directions the creatures faced. The wheels did not turn about as the creatures went. Their rims were high and awesome, and all four rims were full of eyes all around. When the living creatures moved, the wheels beside them moved, and when the living creatures rose from the ground, the wheels also rose. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, and the wheels would rise along with them, because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When the creatures moved, they also moved, and when the creatures stood still, they also stood still. And when the creatures rose from the ground, the wheels rose along with them, because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Spread out above the heads of the living creatures was what looked like an expanse, sparkling like ice and awesome. Under the expanse, their wings were stretched out, one toward the other, and each had two wings covering the body. When the creatures moved, I heard the sound of their wings like the roar of rushing waters, like the voice of the Almighty, like the tumult of an army. When they stood still, they lowered their wings. Then there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. Above the expanse over their heads was what looked like a throne of fire. And high above on the throne was a figure that like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire, and that when from there down he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was there radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. And so I'm going to keep it at that. And I want to go into Joshua Mills' account of the four living creatures. Be blessed. And then we'll come back and talk about the prophetic virtues as it pertains to the four living creatures. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Come on, lift up your hands into the cloud. And tell them, in the glory I will stand. I will stand. I will stand and lift my hands in the glory. In the every miracle, every miracle. Yeah. we receive the fullness of what you have. As the heavens are coming down, we receive the fullness of the heavens that are being released. We say, God, I want to be not only a container for you, but I want to be one that you'll flow in and flow through. I receive every miracle because there's others that need the miracles that I'm going to receive. I'm going to be open tonight to receive the signs and the wonders because there's a world that's waiting for a sign and for a wonder. There's people that are waiting for me to manifest. There's people that are waiting for the miracles that you're going to do through me. So tonight I lift my hands into the cloud and I say, God, come in the fullness of your glory, in the revelation of it. I'm looking unto you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And I know this, that there are so many miracles. There are so many signs. There are so many. You have not run out of the wonders. No, you haven't run. Just when I think I've seen everything that you could do, just when I think that my eyes have beheld all that they could possibly see, you have not run out of the miracles. You have not run out of the signs. You have not run out of the wonders that you want to do. Not only is it wonders that you do, you not only do the miracles, you not only do the signs, you not only want to do the wonders, but it is your name. You are the wonder of wonders. You are the wonder of wonders, and it's you that's living within me. You are the wonder of wonders, and you are living inside of me. And I will become the wonder. I will become the sign. I will become the miracle that you want to do in this generation. Oh, yes. Woo! Oh, shoot, Alaba. Oh, shit, that came. I will stand lifting my hands, lifting my voice, lifting my spirit man unto you. I will stand in the glory and let you do what it is that you want to do. I take my hands off of the control. I take my hands off. I lift them in surrender unto you. I lift them unto the cloud. I lift them unto the heavens. And I say, God, do what you want to do. Manifest what you want to manifest. Your glory. Oh, it's your glory. The glory. The glory. The glory. It's the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory. Hey. It's not some mystical force, it's not some magical thing. It's the glory. It's the fullness of your presence.
Yeah.
It's your character. It's your nature. Oh my God. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. You are the glory. 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 The Bible says that you are the glory and you are the lifter of my head. You are the glory and you are the lifter. You are the glory and you are the lifter. You are the glory and you are the lifter. It's your will. It's your desire. Oh yes, it's your good nature for you to come and take me from where I am unto where you want me to be. You're the one to lift me up. It's your glory that causes me to rise a little bit higher than I've ever been before. It's your glory that gives me wings to fly. It's your glory that causes me to soar. You are the glory, and you are the lifter of my head. You're the glory. You're the lifter. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. You are. You're the glory. You're the You're the glory and the lifter of my head. You are the glory. You're the glory. Come on, lift up your voice. You're the lifter. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. You are. You're the glory. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. You've taken me higher, higher and higher. For you're the glory and the lifter of my head. Oh, you're taking me up. You're taking me higher, higher and higher. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Glory, lifter. You're the glory and the lifter of my. Oh, come on, just declare it. He's the glory and the lifter. You're the glory and the lifter of mine. You're causing me to excel. You're causing me to overcome. You're causing me to triumph. You're causing me to fly. Oh, you've got my eye. Yes, you've got my eye. Oh, Jesus, my eyes are on you. Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, my eyes are fixed on you. You've got my eye. Because you are the glory and you are the lifter. You're the one that enables me. You're the one that causes me to go higher than I've ever gone before. You're the one that's causing me to rise. There's a rising tonight. There's a rising tonight. There's a rise. Oh my God, it's a lifting up. A lifting up. A lifting up. Oh, a lifting up. Oh, going a little bit higher. Going a little bit higher. Oh, we're not just going halfway. We're not just going to go a little bit, but we're going to go all the way. Oh, we're going to go up higher and higher and higher and higher. We don't want to have our eyes fixed on the earth, but our eyes are fixed on you, Jesus. Our eyes are fixed on the heavens. On the heavens, our eyes are fixed on the heavens, on your majesty, on your beauty, on the splendor of your presence. Angelic hosts are being released in this place right now. The angels of God, the angels of heaven being released in this place right now. They're ministering to you, the heirs of salvation. Divine supernatural encounters. Divine supernatural. Oh my. Signs and wonders being released right now. Divine supernatural miracles coming forth from the very hand of God in this place. Oh my God. Can you feel the brush of their wings? Can you feel the brush of their wings? Can you feel the brush of the angel wings? Shh. Oh. The living creatures, the eyes and the wings, the eyes and the wings. There's a seeing that's coming right now. The eyes and the wings bringing revelation and wisdom. There's a seeing that's come right now in the realm of the spirit. There's a seeing like never before. There's a open your eyes to see, to see, to see, to see, to see. Unto your throne, the throne of grace, that place of mercy. Oh, your love flows just like a river from the throne. Your love flows, your blessings flow, your miracles flow. And all we have to do is step on in. Just step on in. Jesus. Not just one glimpse. Not just to see his hand. Not just to see his feet. Not just to see a little bit. But he's opening our eyes to see him for who he really is. This is the day of revelation. This is the day when our eyes shall be opened to see him in his glory. Not just to see one glimpse. Not just to see his back. Not just to see the golden sash around his chest. But that we might be able to join with John the Revelator and say, on the Lord's Day, I was in the Spirit. I am in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. This is the day. This is the hour. This is the season for holy encounter. This is the time. This is the now. Oh, let's go in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Oh, I am in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, on the Lord's Day. I am in the Spirit. I am positioning myself by faith to enter into the place of the heavens, that I might not just get one glimpse, but that I might see him fully, that I might look upon his face, that I might see his eyes that blaze with fire, that I might see his hair that's white as wool, that I might look upon his hands, oh, his nail-pierced hands that flow with the blood, his nail-pierced hands that flow with love for me, that I might look and see that golden sash across his chest, the glory of God, oh, that I might behold the heavens, that I might see him for who he is. His love, his passion, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness. Oh, his forgiveness. Oh, his forgiveness. No matter how far I've gone, no matter where I've drifted, he's standing there with his arms outstretched with love for me. For me. The emerald rainbow, full of glory. The 24 elders casting their crowns down before the throne in worship. I join with them in worship. saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, you are holy. You are holy. You are holy. There is none like you. Oh, you are holy. You are worthy. You are holy. You are worthy. No one, nothing compares with you. No one, nothing compares to your glory. No one, nothing compares to who you are. Who you are in me. Oh, you're in me. Oh, it's heaven inside of me. Oh, you're inside of me. It's all of heaven inside of me. Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. You are the glory. You are the glory. And you are the lifter of my head. You. It's you. Only you. You're the one I've come to worship. You're the one. You're the one I've come to glorify. Because there is nobody, there is no one, there is nothing else in this world or all the worlds to come that compares to you. You are beautiful beyond description. Oh Lord, you are. You are so much more precious than the gold of this earth. Lord, you are. Much more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing that I desire, nothing could ever compare to the love that I have for you. Nicodemus looked to Jesus and he said, how can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered and he said this. He said, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. For flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You shouldn't be surprised at my saying that you must be born again, because the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. And so it's the same with everyone that's born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus asked, how can this possibly be? Jesus said, you are Israel's teacher, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? Heavenly things. Heaven coming down and touching the earth. The realm of the eternal touching the realm of time. The invisible becoming visible. The unseen being seen. Heavenly things. Heavenly things. Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus about the new birth, but he was also speaking to him of heavenly things. And in this day, as his glory is being revealed in great measure, as the knowledge of his glory is covering the earth just as the waters cover the sea, the voice of God is speaking to you, and he's speaking to me, and he's speaking of heavenly things. Oh, the things eternal. Those things which will not pass away. Those things that will not wear out by a moth or by rust. Heavenly things. Heavenly things. He's calling us to begin looking unto the heavens. He's calling us to have our eyes open in this day, to go beyond that which we see in the natural. We walk by faith and not by sight. And by faith we can open up our eyes to see that which has not yet been seen. We can open up our eyes. We can open up our spirit man to receive those things that are being revealed by the glory. By the glory, we can receive heavenly things. We can stand and gaze upon his presence. We can stand and look at the heavens opened. Oh, yes. The things of earth will grow strangely dim as we open up our eyes to see the revelation of Jesus Christ. We read through the book of Ezekiel. Rainbows,
and we read about the clouds,
lightnings and thunders and voices, worship. We read about the angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, the living creatures in Ezekiel. It would be impossible to know about Ezekiel without knowing the glory. It would be impossible to know about Ezekiel without knowing the living creatures. It would be impossible to know about Ezekiel without knowing about the cloud. It would be impossible to know about Ezekiel without knowing about the thunders and the lightnings and the voices. It would be impossible to know about Ezekiel without knowing the glory of God. For Ezekiel said that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. I looked and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, and in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. In appearance, their form was that of a man, but each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight. Their feet were like those of a calf and gleamed like burnished bronze. And under their wings, on their four sides, they had the hands of a man. And all four of them had faces and wings. And their wings touched one another. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. Their faces looked like this. Each of the four had the face of a man, and on the right side each had the face of a lion, and on the left the face of an ox. Each also had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out upward. Each had two wings, one touching the wing of another creature on either side. Oh, and two wings were covering its body. Each one went straight ahead. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go without turning as they went. And the appearance of the living creatures was like the burning coals of fire or like torches. Fire moved back and forth among the creatures. It was bright and lightning flashed out of it. The creatures sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the ground beside each creature with its four faces. This was the appearance and the structure of the wheels. They sparkled like chrysolite, and all four looked alike. Each appeared to be made like a wheel intersecting a wheel. As they moved, they would go in any one of the four directions that the creatures faced. The wheels did not turn about as the creatures went, but their rims were high and awesome, and all four rims were full of eyes all around. There were eyes in the wheel, eyes in the wheel within the wheel, eyes in the wheel, revelation within the wheel, revelation within the glory. And when the living creatures moved, the wheels beside them moved. And when the living creatures rose from the ground, the wheels also rose. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, and the wheels would rise along with them, because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. And when the creatures moved, they also moved. When the creatures stood still, they also stood still. And when the creatures rose from the ground, oh, the wheels rose along with them, because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels, spread out above the heads, above the living creatures. I saw what looked like an expanse. It was sparkling like ice, and it was so awesome. Under that expanse, their wings were stretched out, one toward the other, in each head, two wings covering its body. And when the creatures moved, I heard the sound of their wings. When they moved, I heard the sound of their wings. When the creatures moved, I heard the sound. I could hear the flutter. I could hear the sound of their wings, and it was like the roar of rushing water, just like the voice of the Almighty, like the tumult of an army. When they stood still, they lowered their wings. And then there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. And above the expanse over their heads was what looked like a throne of sapphire. And high above on that throne was a figure like that of a man. And I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And that from there down, he looked just like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him, just like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. It was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the light. And Ezekiel said of the glory, when I saw it, of the Lord, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. Revelation in the glory. Ezekiel stood in the vision and looked upon the heavens. Ezekiel stood within the glory and saw the heavens in all of its brilliance. Ezekiel stood beholding the glory. Ezekiel spent time within the cloud, and the cloud became him. The heavens became him. We couldn't know about Ezekiel without knowing about the heavens, because the heavens became him. It was who he was. He beheld the glory, and the glory became him. We look unto Jesus, and we become just like him. We look unto the glory and we become so full of the glory. We look unto the cloud and the cloud becomes us. We look unto the heavens and the heavens become us. Ezekiel went from a place of gazing on the cherubims to becoming just like the cherubim. The Bible tells us that he went from a place of watching them fly to being able to fly. Oh, the heavens became him. Oh, the cloud became him. The glory will become you. as you behold the glory. Ezekiel began to fly. In Ezekiel 3, verse 12, he says, "The Spirit of the living God lifted me up. The Spirit of glory lifted me up. The Spirit lifted me up. And I heard behind me a loud rumbling sound. Oh, may the glory of the Lord be praised in his dwelling place." It was the sound of the wings of those living creatures brushing each other, and the sound of the wings beside them, a loud rumbling sound. The Spirit lifted me up. I began to fly. The Spirit lifted me up and took me away. To hear, to know, to perceive. To see, to hear, to know, to perceive. To see, to receive, to receive, to receive. Lift your hands unto the cloud of glory. Lift your hands unto that realm in surrender. Lift your hands unto the cloud. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I give myself to you. I give myself to you. Everything I am, everything I do, I give myself to you. I want to see you. I want to hear you. I want to know everything about you. I'm looking unto the heavens, looking unto your glory, that I might become your glory. That you might be able to glory in me. I know that you do. You glory in me. Oh, you glory in me.
Wasn't that powerful, a powerful word that the servant and friend of Jesus, a friend of God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, Joshua Mills, has given? God is doing a tremendous work in his life. And he talked about impartation, and that's part of the activity of heaven through the Holy Spirit. Is as things are being revealed from heaven in the everyday life of the believer, okay? Wonderful things begin to happen and things get deposited upon the earth as we become obedient to what the Holy Spirit is saying, and as we, through testimony, through becoming a living witness of His glory, we impart that same the vision of heaven upon the earth through the words of our mouth, through our lips. That is why we are constantly preaching, and the scriptures talk about how the words of our mouth can pave the way between life and death, okay? And we need not be careless. We need to be all about being vigilant warriors, being vigilant ambassadors of the throne, bringing the good news, heralding the good news of the kingdom to to the earth through the words of our mouth, through a life that's been transformed and is continually being transformed in the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Lord and in His mercy and grace. So there's a lot there to ponder on. There's a lot there to chew on. And so we are continuing in this broadcast and hope many were blessed and continue to be blessed. We remember at the beginning of this broadcast, I read from the book of Ezekiel, and also Joshua Mills had preached from Ezekiel through worship, the highest form of preaching. I'm going to get back to that in subsequent broadcasts, because this is the beginning of, I think, about a four-part series on the activity of heaven. Okay? And so, but in order for the activity of heaven to manifest on the earth, there needs to be an open heaven, and worship is the key that opens up the heavens, okay, in your lives. All right, so now, you know, I want to emphasize at the beginning of Ezekiel how the heavens were opened, and Ezekiel began to see visions of God, okay? And let's face it, like I said earlier, the heavens, when they open because of a heart sold out for the Lord through worship. You know, once you, and it's not all, sometimes it's not all about being in the singing mode of worship, but when you get into that place of rest and worship, it takes over your spirit, man, your inner nature, through the power of the Holy Spirit, in the person of the Holy Spirit, and with the Holy Spirit. So in this unity, there's a constant flow, all right, of the Spirit of the living God working within you, all right. And it gets activated, it becomes activated through the emotion. Emotion is established through the worship of heaven, in the form of song and in the form of dance, all right. That is why it has been written in Ezekiel that when the four living creatures, and we'll talk about that during this broadcast, during the teaching part of this broadcast, we'll talk about how that, you know, the reason why when the living creatures move forward, all right, they move forward as a unit, in unity with the wills, within the wills, you know, that's the constant move of the Holy Spirit to move forward, okay? So when a believer is backslidden, they're either standing in the, you know, standing still, or they're moving backwards, and that's not the will of God. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in lieu of grace and His love and His mercy. So anyways, you know, so the heavens were open, and Ezekiel began to see visions of God. Now, Joshua Mills talks about, it would be impossible to know Ezekiel and his experience without knowing, all right, five things. The glory, the living creatures, the cloud, the thunders and lightnings and voices, and the glory of God, all right. About where we're now, 2011, about 11 years ago, the Lord came to me as a result of 3 days of intensive worship, as I spoke to you earlier, and He really wanted to emphasize what happens during worship. And if anyone reads the book of Revelation or Ezekiel or even the book of Daniel, full of prophetic symbols, outside of the direction of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't make sense at all, okay? Because it just sounds like a made-up story. But, you know, the language of the Holy Spirit is very, very metaphoric and symbolic in nature, okay? So knowing that and understanding that in the Holy Ghost, we're going to unpack some spiritual reality and absolute truths here regarding the four living creatures and what they represent in relation to the prophetic virtue. All right. Okay. We talked, you know, about the lion. All right. There's four faces that the four living creatures represent. Okay. And they're constantly before the throne room, worshiping the Lord 24/7, along with the 24 elders, right? And they carry the glory of the Lord. They are in tune to the glory. The glory is the realm in which they operate in. And when we have the kingdom of God activated in the life of every believer, when you yield to the flow of worship and come into his rest, all right, you activate this activity, and the more of that you release the activities of heaven through the flow of worship, the deeper you come into the glory, all right, and the revelations that come from the representations of the Holy Spirit virtues that are around the throne, you receive it in greater power and glory and can move in a greater realm of authority. So, you want to find out who you are and what you're made of? Let's examine the prophetic virtues of the four living creatures. We know them as the man, the ox, the lion, and the eagle. And if you can write these down on some piece of paper somewhere, you are going to uncover the rest of the words. And just look at the beginning of each of the words, okay? You will notice that it will spell out mole. I just noticed that just before I did this broadcast. M-O-L-E. Tuck that away in your prophetic memory, and you'll always remember the four living creatures. Because every time I would quiz myself, or the Holy Spirit would quiz myself, I would always forget one. It was just like, I need to understand this, because this is what I'm made of. You know, this is what is the is part of the kingdom of God flowing within me, the activity of heaven flowing within me, flowing within you. But you know, when you come, you got to come into that awareness, and they also guide you in that and into that awareness. Okay, all right. So we're going to look at the face of the man. All right. Now, the face of the man reflects, all right, the God-man nature of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. You know, when he was walking on this earth, he was known as the Son of Man, okay, that came in the flesh. And there were some manifestations of the divine working through him, because he was the representation of his heavenly Father upon the earth. But the fullness of his calling as the completion of the Son of Man did not flourish until he was crucified on the cross. He descended into the depths of Sheol. He ascended he appeared before his disciples so that they can witness this process. And he ascended into heaven, where he occupies the throne with God and sits at the right hand of God, okay, hearing all of our prayers. So there is the fullness, all right, and he orchestrates the activity of heaven. Okay, so now, you know, we have this face of the man, which reflects the God-man nature of the Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, like I explained to you before. And so, in the beginning was the Word, and he was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word of God living inside of you, living inside of me, all right? And he's the Word of God that's directing the flow, all right, of the four living creatures in response to the activity of heaven, living inside of you. Think about that. Let's just chew on that for a little bit, okay? So, Jesus is the Word of God living inside of you. He's also the Son of God and Son of Man, and we are made in his image, all right? what is his image? And I thought about that. I've been thinking and pondering. It's just a constant prayer that's going before the throne all the time. Because the question is, if you have heaven inside of you, and you have this reality going on, wouldn't you want to know about... And if Jesus says, you are made in my image, wouldn't you want to know what that image is all about? Or, I mean, we can only know in part in these earthly temples, but, you know, in part can mean a lot, you know. It could mean either 10% in part or 90%. You know, I want to get you to closer to 100%. I want to come into that closer to 100% while I'm here on the earth. Because it's going to be make a very exciting life, because God's going to show you many things. He's going to show us me many things, you many things, the whole world many things. So, you know, and the kingdom of God is contagious too. And it's caught first and then it's taught. So, because it's through revelation, you know, that you receive the kingdom of God. It's through faith in revelation. During worship, we can truly come face to face with the living God and be perfected in His presence as we go from glory to glory and grace to grace. And we look more like Jesus, you know, and we become more like Jesus. Our very natures get transformed, into the very nature of Jesus. And that's a true miracle that we come into. And then we inherit in a powerful way, in a glorious way, the very essence of heaven. Okay? And so that's what we have to look forward to in our life here upon the earth. Now, the ox, the face of the ox, okay? The ox is very humble in nature and is obedient to their master's voice. The ox is slow moving in nature and has a stillness that ushers in the presence of God during this phase of worship. It's when you receive this grace to just be in His presence without your own agenda, and without thinking. There was one time in worship when I was in a very throes of worship as a drummer before the throne room, and I had gotten into a place of complete peace and rest where everything stood still, time stood still within me, my thoughts stopped, everything stopped, and I was aware of everything. And it was just God's split second for me as He broke into my time about where He is calling me and many people to be. So we can be filled with His glory and to the point of overflowing. So in that humility, you know, in that prophetic virtue of being an ox, the Lord says that that's His ultimate release of the virtue of humility within us. This is where everything ceases within us. We come into that rest, that holy hush. That comes over us in worship. It is this phase of worship that one comes to a closer, you know, into the full knowledge that they are about to enter to the Holy of Holies. This is known as the most sacred place of worship. Okay, there is an increased understanding for the greater things of God in this place, and in this prophetic virtue in our spirit. There's a greater humility and docility of the inner man towards the things of God. And this, of course, begins unfolding. And it just, you know, it's not like you go from worship and rest and then you go into this. It's a back and forth thing, you know. As you remain in the flow of worship, you know, and through the dance and the new song from heaven, constantly flowing within your being. between you and bringing you closer through the motion of the wheel within the wheel and the four living creatures as you get closer to the throne room.
The time is 9 o'clock a.m.
Okay, so the third prophetic virtue is the face of the lion, okay? All right. The face of the lion. Are many of you lions out there? lions. I'm just going through my notes from years ago. The face of the lion. Well, I can tell you the significance of the face of the lion. And I don't have here, but I know what it is because the Lord has downloaded it and sealed it in my spirit. And this is what he will do for many of you through Revelation. You know, when you think of the lion, you know, one of the descriptions of Jesus is that he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Do you ever understand why he's the lion of the tribe of Judah? The lion represents the southern kingdom of Israel. That was where King David came out of, okay? There was the kingdom of Israel, the king of Israel, and the southern kingdom. You know, so the king, Israel was the northern kingdom, and Judah was the southern kingdom. And many of the prophetic people, many of the prophetic lineage of Jesus came from Judah, the line of the tribe of Judah, the family crest, you know, of the kingdom of God. And many of you know him as Absalom from the Chronicles of Narnia. And of course, C.S. Lewis got that from the scriptures. And so, you know, what does the lion do? Operates in the full authority. You know, I talked to some pastors from Africa who've actually had encounters of the lion from, you know, Africa. And the lions are not little tame animals like you think. They're really big. They're gigantic. And when they let out a roar, everyone takes notice, okay? And what they do is the lions on this earth, if there's any fear in you, it will know. And it will go after you, you know. So you have to know who you are and where you stand. And so it's often understood that Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's one of his characteristics. And so we have that in us. All right. And what a lion does is after it seizes its prey, it roars for victory, you know, of the seizure. And so, you know, so the reason why Jesus, our King, is also known as the Lion, and also there's the in the prophetic virtue, there's the aspect of the Lion is that within us, because we have the Kingdom within us in power and glory, and Jesus is on the throne of our hearts, all right, and the Kingdom of Heaven is within us. Okay, now as we come into that place of exercising authority in Him and taking back everything that the enemy of our souls has stolen, there is deep within our spirit a cry of victory, a roar of victory, okay, that transforms and clears the atmosphere around us, okay, and it does many, many other things. It covers a wide expanse of territory within the spirit. It opens the heavens in a greater way, and it brings in the freedom, you know, to set the captives free. Regarding our unsaved loved ones, and you know, and it brings in the government of the kingdom of God to the earth. So the lion, the roar of the lion, this prophetic virtue is very important. And when we get to that place of worship where we're actually roaring in the Holy Ghost, That settles it. That settles the deal. That seals the deal in the Holy Ghost. That seals the deal in the Spirit, in your spirit, man. Okay? The victory is sealed. It's a sealed deal, and the King puts the stamp of approval on it. All right. So, isn't that awesome? Now I want to go to the eagle, and the Lord had given me many, many things about the eagle, but that is for another broadcast. All right, so the ego, the face of the ego, all right, is very important in the area of seeing, in the area of receiving spiritual knowledge from heaven, revelation, in the area of focusing in the present moment what the future glory is so that we don't lose track, all right? We're constantly looking at the throne, we're constantly aware of the activity of heaven within us. We're constantly, you know, receiving the desire to remain focused and, you know, on Jesus, our heavenly bridegroom king, all right? The ego. The ego is all-seeing and all-knowing, and it has the capacity to grab into the cleft of the rock, which is Jesus, and to fly against and over the storms of our lives. This prophetic virtue is the strongest during the phase of worship when revelation starts to flow from the throne of God. Also, the Lord has used the ego in my life several times to just bring me to a place, especially when worry, the worry and cares of this life were set in, and somehow he would cause a manifestation of the ego physically, in the to come into the physical realm, to swoop over my car, to, you know, to fly over my house, or whatever, as he's, you know, released a revelation, you know, to me, so that I can focus on him. And I think that's a special grace, and I thank God for that. And because that, a lot of times, you know, let's face it, we give in to that. You know, we can backslide just by giving in to fear, worry, and anxiety, and then it interrupts the flow of what the Lord wants to do. So, so I wanted to, you know, give you these so you can understand in a greater way whenever you hear Joshua Mills or whenever you read Ezekiel or Daniel or Revelation, just what, you know, is happening. And I know we only prophesy in part. We can only know these things in part. But I tell you, as the revelations from heaven are being released, you know, because the number of worshipers are increasing and the longer you spend in worship, you know, the greater flow of revelation will come from the throne, and your ministries will go forth in power and glory because of this activity of heaven moving through you. And I want to, in the next broadcast, talk about in a greater way the different prophetic revelations I received regarding the ego and the lion. I just found my notes of the lion. I just want to go back to something that I didn't emphasize before. Okay. Yeah. Actually, I did emphasize everything. Okay. But I gave you a paraphrased version of what is here. But, you know, we are constantly flowing in these gifts. Not every virtue is present, like, by itself. There's always dichotomy going and flowing, you know, with whatever the Father wills at the moment regarding your situation or regarding the season that you are in. So you can't tell the man to show up, you can't tell the ox to show up, or the lion or the ego. It's embedded in your spirit, and all I can say is that they help you get to that place in the spirit that the Lord wants you to be at any given moment, okay, depending on the situation. So I think to test this out, okay, this teaching out, I'm going to read a part of scripture regarding, you know, Jesus interacted with the disciples, and, you know, we're going to see in what capacity he was functioning in. When he was with his disciples, but I want to get the story that it could be easy to discern what the prophetic virtue was that Jesus was functioning in. Let's see. Okay. All right, let's see. All right. I think Jesus and John the Baptist. Let's go to Luke. That would be a really good reading for this. Because this is the best way for you to understand this, who Jesus is in Scripture and how he works within you. It's always good to stay close to the Word of God, you know. And because the Lord wants to marry Logos, Revelation, from God's written Word that's already been written to Rhema, written in the heavens before the foundations of the earth were laid, but hadn't been written by the hand of man. So let's go to Luke. All right, where Jesus receives his baptism from John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So if you have a script in the Bible, flip open to Luke, you know, hopefully we'll get to that. Jesus is in the temple. John the Baptist prepares the way. Okay. Yes, here we go. All right. This is Luke 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough way smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he has done, Herod added this to them all, and he locked up John in prison. Now, in this particular passage, before Jesus comes into the picture, John was acting like the lion, okay? And he was roaring a victory that people thought, is this the Christ? All right? He was very blatant. He was very bold. Those are the characteristics of the lion. I really, really want to go to where the heavens open. I'm thinking maybe that's even in, might be in John. And John, let's go to John. John. The beginning of John. Yes. John is one of his beloved. We are one of his beloved. You are his beloved. Okay. John, the testimony about Jesus. This is John's testimony about Jesus. Okay. Now I want to get to the baptism. The baptism, the baptism. Okay. Okay, here we go. All right, we're in John. John 1. John the Baptist denies being the Christ. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize you with water, like it said in Luke," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know, for he is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I met when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself do not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." So that was the reason why John baptized everyone with water, so that when Jesus came, he would recognize him and he would be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." And Jesus came in his humility, and the Spirit was able to rest on him. And so the prophetic virtue that was functioning in Jesus that day, that important day that marked the whole ministry of Jesus, was the ox. Okay? He was humble. He remained, you know, and he was obedient to the Master's voice. So you see, in humility, a lot of people shun that sometimes. They overlook that. They even have false humility, talk about themselves as being humble. But the thing is, it's really the working of the Holy Spirit within you. And Jesus says, "You will know the fruits them by their fruits." Okay? You will know people by their fruits. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace, patience, humility, kindness, gentleness, fortitude, piety, a healthy fear of the Lord, and I think that there's and faith. You have to have faith. Okay, so I just want to leave you with that, and I know that there's a whole lot that's unpacked here, but this is only the beginning. As Joanne McFadden sang at the beginning of the song, you know, she had a song called "In the Beginning," and what was in the heart and mind of the Lord when he formed man. Okay? Jesus was. Yeshua HaMashiach was. And so we wrap up this beginning series of the activity of heaven. Okay? And we will wrap it up with communion and a prayer. And then we are also going to begin a series of fundraisers, and we'll get more into that in the next segment, okay? We'll have a continued teaching on the activity of heaven, because that's very important. And we're going to talk to you more about how this activity of heaven has launched a ministry that the Lord has put in our hearts and sent me a team of people that is going to carry this out, and we're going to be doing a tour in 2012. We'll talk more about that, but it's all about calling instead of all about destiny, as the activity of heaven flows in the life, everyday life of the believer. You know, you can't, when things are revealed to you and your calling is given to you from on high, you cannot ignore the Lord. To ignore the Lord is to really, I think, to commit suicide. So spiritual suicide. So we don't want to do that. We want to be about our Father's business. Okay, so I just thank you, Jesus, Lord. I thank you for what you are doing in your people. I thank you for the activity of heaven right now, Lord, that is in operation. Lord, can you increase the activity of heaven within your people? We thank you, Jesus, Lord. We thank you for you are Lord and Savior of our life, and you are King of the universe, and all things move through you, and anything outside of you is futile. And Lord, we ask that you would wake up your people from a place of complacency to a place of heavenly activity. We thank you, Jesus, Lord. Show us your glory. Show them your glory that they may be saved. And Lord, be the hope of their glory. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Shikarama shikarama sotia masha. Oria masitia mashanda. Oh, Lord, open the heavens. Open the floodgates of heaven. And release your glory, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're raising the standard of worship in your people. Lord, we thank you that you are increasing understanding, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you are transforming your people into your image and your likeness, to the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus, that they would look more like you, they would act more like you, and they would have the same perspective as you. We thank you, Lord. Shikata mashiraba. Oria mashamba. O kadia masiti. Ishaba kinde. Shikata. O kapashita mashinda. Oria mashamba. Oria mashike. Shikidi kida mashata. Oria mashibaba. Shokola mashibaba. Shababa baba. Shikarama Surya Mashike. Shikata Hikaramo Sike. Shiba Baba Baba. Oriya Mashakara. Hikarama Sike. Shikarama Surya Mashiba. O Baba Shambara Shinda. Oh Lord Jesus, we come before you. We offer up this communion to you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that no weapon fashioned and formed against us in the mighty name of Jesus will prosper. We thank you, Lord, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart will be acceptable unto you, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are the great I Am, Lord, that you are the bread of life, and that he who comes to you will never go hungry, and he who believes in you will never be thirsty. But as you have told your disciples over and over again, as you have told us, Lord, as you have revealed to us in all the communions we received throughout our life, that if you have seen you, if we have seen you and still do not believe, then we are, we have cursed. But Lord, we don't want to participate in it, because we want He asks for an increase of belief, that you know, and that everything that the Father gives you, you know, gives me will come to, it will get, and gives us on behalf of Jesus, will come, you know, it all comes to the Father. We thank you, Lord, that this communion not only comes to the Father, but because you are communion, you are communion with God, because you are the only begotten Son of God, that by this communion going to the Father, it comes from the Father, but goes back to the Father. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that, Lord, on the night that you were betrayed, you took bread, and then you gave thanks. You broke the bread and you said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, you took the cup of affliction, your blood, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this. Whenever you drink it, you remember me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink my cup, you proclaim my death until I come again in glory. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord Jesus." So, Lord, we ask that you forgive all our sins. In Jesus' name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Receive the body and blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Okay. Well, I just thank you for listening to me and taking the time and out of your busy schedules to open your spirits up to receive what heaven has for you. And so I release you right now in the name of Jesus to go in peace. I pray the peace of Jerusalem over you. And Lord, Lord, just open up heaven over your people so that they can see what you see and hear what you hear. And they will improve the quality of their life because you are there with them, advocating for them at the right hand of the Father. Okay, God bless you. I love you. Bye-bye. Yeah.